Today's shiur is Masechta Nida Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Kam b'ma amr da'ishata. To review what we learned in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah we learned about 4 women. A zakena, a basula, basula meaning here a woman who had never seen dam previously, a muberes and a mineka. And the Mishnah said, regarding those women, that they, when they have their first riyah, when they have their first discharge, the halach is da'yishata. Second riyah, the halach is that they are tamei meis leisum b'kida l'b'kida. Says Rav Akula, that by all of these women, that is the halach. That's why Rashi learns the opinion of Rav. There's a Ramban that learns a different pshat. The Ramban says that Rav doesn't mean to say that all of the women are retroactively tummy at the same time. What he means to say is that all women, all of these women in our Mishnah, at one point or another, some of them by the second Riyah, some of them by the third Riyah, become tummy retroactively. We're going to learn the Gemara with Rashi's Pshat. V'shmul ha-malashna el b'sula v'zakena. This halach is only by a b'sula and a zakena that after their first riyah, by their second riyah, they become tamei retroactively. Avam uberes minika. When we speak about a minberes and a minika, dayin kol yimei yiburin, dayin kol yimei nikoson. The halach of da'yishat applies by them throughout their pregnancy or their time of nursing. And the explanation is very simple. Why we differentiate. A zakena or a basula that have a discharge, so it's obvious that they're back to being like a regular woman. And that the halacha that applies by a regular woman will apply by them. A muberis and a minika have external reasons why they're not tamei. Because of the pregnancy, because of the nursing. And those circumstances still remain. And therefore, the halacha of da'yishata remains with them. And the Rishonim go on to explain that this discussion, the opinion of Shmuel, and we're going to have other Maroim that concur with Shmuel in a moment, is not connected to the machlokes that we've been discussing all week about why a muberes and a mineka are musalekes damim. Whether it's because dam nek of anasa cholov, or whether it's because a verem sparkin, that doesn't have any impact on this machlokes. Says the Gemara, and we have another other Maroim having the exact same machlokes. V'chein amram shim b'lokish, akula. Rish Lakish says, by all the women that we mentioned in our Mishnah, the same halacha applies. Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan says, again like Shmuel, lo yishan al psul of zakena, that there, after the first riyah, we don't say da'yishat anymore. Amu beres umenika, da'in koyim eiburin, da'i kamin kosim. Says the Gemara Ketanoi, actually, this machlokes that we said is a machlokes of 2 sets amaruim is really a machlokes tanum. It says in the Braisa, Muberes imenekes shoy shefas dam, that they were discharging blood. And as the Achroinim, Baruch Lener says, and other Achroinim say it as well, the fact that they're shefas dam or not shefas dam is immaterial to what we're learning. The reason the Braisa chose to speak about a case of shefas dam is to teach us a chiddush, that even though the woman is having a very serious discharge, she shefas dam, it doesn't make a difference. The man, the omer that says that this halacha doesn't apply by muberes u'mineka, says it doesn't apply whether it's a small discharge or a serious discharge. Or by shefas dai, dayin koy meiburin, dayin koy meinekasim. A muberes u'mineka, the halacha of dayin shatin, always applies. Divrei, rameya, the loch of Dayan Shatan was only said El Bari Rishina by the first Riyah. Abba Bishniya, after that first Riyah, the loch will be by all of the 4 women discussed in our Mishnah, the loch will always be Metamalais Laisum Pekidlam Pekidah. Vimras Rishina. So our Mishnah taught us that if the first Riyah, and we go back to not one of these special situations. But any woman whose first riyah was not because she's a woman and she has a riyah, part of her cycle, but rather was an oinus, there was an outside stimulus that caused the ria, it doesn't count. So just to say a word of introduction. We've already learned and will spend much time learning in our Masechta, the halacha of Vestas. Vestas means that there's a time that a woman expects to have her period. And as we learned and we'll discuss, there's a Vestet Kavua and a Vestet She'ena Kavua. A Vestet Kavua is a woman who has a specific time when she expects her period to come. A Vestet She'ena Kavua is something that a woman doesn't have a specific time that she could assume her period is coming. But when we speak about a Vestet, so there are a number of ways of determining or identifying what is a Vestet. You could have a Vestet Hayomim, that the Vestet comes on a specific date. It comes every Rosh Chodesh. You could have a Vestet Aflaga, that the period comes every specific interval, 30 days, 31 days, 40 days, it doesn't make a difference. Those are the Vestas that we're all familiar with. But there are really other Vestas as well. And one of those Vestas is going to be the Vestas that we're going to be discussing in our shir. And that's called a Vestas Oinus, a Vestas Maisa, which means that there's a specific act that triggers the Vestas to come. And as the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, are very, very careful to tell us, we should not get confused between a Vestet Oinus, which is the subject of our shir, versus a Vestet Haguf. A Vestet Haguf means that there's a symptom in her body that indicates to the woman that her period is coming, whether it cramps or different body symptoms. Vestet Haguf is not what we're talking about for a number of reasons. First of all, a Vestet Haguf is from inside her body, a cramp or one other, something else. What we're speaking about here is an outside stimulus. The Gemara keeps on speaking about kvitz, jumping. Jumping doesn't come from inside. A Vestet Haguf doesn't indicate any tairich. She doesn't do anything to cause that Vestet Haguf. It happens. A Vestet Kvitza means that she had to exert herself to bring about her period. A Vestet Ha'oinus is certainly considered, a Vestet Haguf is certainly considered a Vestet. It's no different than the other Vestas. And a woman could have a Vestet Haguf, a Vestet Kavua based on a Vestet Haguf. Vestet Ha'oinus is very different. So begins the Gemara. And of course, the Marei Mesod already asked the question, we're going to learn the halakhas of Vestas. You can't learn Hilchos Nida, you can't learn Masechta Nida without learning Vestas. But we're still learning Dayashata. Why does this come into the Gemara? So he says, because we just said that the din of Dayashata is connected to a Rias Oinus, and we said the din of Dayashata doesn't apply when there's a Rias Oinus, so helping us understand what is a Veset helps us understand what is an Oinus. So Amar Rav Huna, Kafts of Rasa, a woman jumped three times, and after every time she saw a ria, cover a vest. She now has a vestet for kvitza. Ask the Gemara Lamai, what does that mean? Ilaim liyomim, does it mean that she now has a vestet on specific days? How kliyom de la kafetz le chazoi? Why are days connected? Does it mean that it wasn't any specific days that it caused, it came? Says the Gemara El Kvitzes. So again, we're going to learn the Gemara like Rashi learns the Gemara, and this is very important. Rashi's saying that our Gemara at this point holds, and it may be that way at the end of the sugya as well, that a woman, according to Rav Huna, could establish a Vesa just based on Kvitzes. Nothing else not connected to days. There's no pattern to the days. There's only Kvitzes. And she could, if three times she jumped, it's important to say consecutively. Everybody agrees. Even the biggest machmor in a Vestet HaKvitzes say that you have to have Ritzifus. So if the woman, if we're going to hold that a Vestet HaKvitzes is considered a Vestet, if she jumped once and she jumped twice, and then she jumped a third time, and then she jumped a fourth time, but the third time she jumped she didn't have a Ria, it's not a Vestet. But the Gemara is learning that if she jumped one, two, three consecutive times, and she had a Riyah every time, she has established the Veset. Taisus, for the record, we're not going to learn the Gemara with Taisus Pshat, says that the Gemara never had a Havamina that you could have a Veset just based on Kfitzis. But again, according to Rashi, you could have a Veset just based on Kfitzis. Ask the Gemara, how can we learn the Gemara that way? How can we say that a Veset could be established just based on Kfitzis? For Tanya, doesn't the Brisa say, Kosher Tekvena Machmas Oynes, if a vest was brought about because of an outside stimulus, I feel kind of pomen, loy cover vest, even if it happened many times, it's not a vest, my love, and doesn't the Brisa mean to say, loy covered vest klal, that she doesn't have a vest at all, because kvitzis at all don't establish a vest? So the mar loy cover vest, loyam luchadayu, or kvitzis luchadayu, what the Brisa means to say is that such a woman doesn't have a veset based on days alone or on jumping alone. Avu kavel a veset liyomim ulkfitzes. What the Brisa is speaking about, says the Gemara, is that this woman has what's known in halacha as a veset hamurkav. A veset hamurkav means that there's murkav means a combination, that there's more than one factor causing the period to come. And this woman is seeing a discharge on a specific date based on outside factors, and that's why the woman has a veset. Says the Gemara, "V'yom luchadai pshita." What does the Brisa have to tell us that if a woman sees a veset because of days, that that's considered a veset? Of course, if her veset comes only because of a combination of days and jumping, that she won't have a veset for yomim alone. It wasn't yomim alone that caused the veset to come. And the Mefarshim point out the Gemara could have asked the question the other way as well. That she doesn't have if the Brisa is teaching us that if her veset was established because of a combination of days and kvitzes, a date and kvitzes, that kvitzes alone can't make a veset. But the Gemara prefers to talk about the yomim and the kvitzes because yomim always makes a veset. And that's why here we understand that this is not a case of yomim. Says the Gemara, the Brisa is teaching us a different chiddush. Amar Vashi, ki goyim dekavetz b'chad b'shabbos. The case that we're speaking about is that she jumped on Sunday. V'chaz v'kavetz b'chad b'shabbos, and again she jumped on the next Sunday. V'chaz v'kavetz b'shabbos, and then the third week, she didn't jump on Sunday. She jumped on Shabbos. V'loy chazoy, but she didn't have a discharge. Ulchad b'shabbos chazoy, but then on Sunday she jumped, but like she saw without the kvitza, because the kvitza was the day before. Ma'ad tema, so we can make an argument that this woman, igloy milsel mafreya, it's obvious that this woman is in a state that it's not the kvitza that makes a difference. Why? Because what happened over here? She saw the third time without a kvitza. The third time the kvitza was the day before. So shouldn't that be an indication that the kvitza is immaterial? Igloy milslam afrei the yoimahu de garim v'loy kvitza. That it's only the Sundays that are garim, not the kvitza. Kamash Milan, that's what the Brisa has come to teach us. That this woman is considered a woman who's subject to vesed kvitzas, because we assume the kvitza nami de esmo garma, that yesterday's kvitza did influence Haria. So if the kvitza has an effect, so why didn't she see yesterday on Shabbos when she jumped? Because the time for kvitza didn't come. But, because she's only supposed to jump on Sunday, so that kvitza, so to speak, held in abeyance until Sunday. So what the Brisa is teaching us is as follows. You could have a vesed hamurkav. What is the definition of a vesed hamurkav that she sees on a specific date together kvitza with the date? That's called a vesed hamurkav. And the Brisa is teaching us a chiddush that if the jumping was a day before, it's still going to be considered a vesed hamurkav. Two important points. The first point is that the Brisa said, the Gemara said, was speaking about a case that she saw three consecutive Sundays, which opens up a whole new issue. Because if we remember that we've discussed many times that a woman's life is a cycle of 7-11, 7-11, so if she saw today is the first Sunday, so that's Hanida days. Let's say today was the first of the 7 days. By definition, next Sunday is already in the 11 Nida days, in the 11 Ziva days. And we're going to discuss in today's shiur still that you perhaps can't be Kaveh Vest during your Ziva days. So how could the Gemara say that she's Kaveh Vest by having a Riyah three consecutive Sundays? The second Sunday for sure, actually the third Sunday as well, are still in the Ziva days, and you can't be Kaveh Vest during the Ziva days. So that's why you have to say that the Gemara doesn't mean specifically three consecutive Sundays. It means with the proper interval well. Here too, the Gemara is teaching us a very bechiddush. Let's wait for this chiddush for a moment. Lishnachrina, another version of how to understand the Braisa. Amar funa kavtzarasa, kavtzarasa, kavtzavarasa, kavah laveset, liyam v'laikvitzis. You can have a situation where a woman keeps on jumping, and she'll only have a vest for the yomim and not for the kvitzas. Why? If both of these actions, I shouldn't say actions, if both of these circumstances came together, why do we ignore one? And why do we say she only has a vest for the yomim? Omer of Ashi, the kofetz b'chad b'shabbos. The case here is that she jumped on Sunday and had a ria. The kofetz b'chad b'shabbos chazoy. And for the moment, we'll take out the, we're not going to learn the wording in the parentheses. Ulchad shabbos. And the third Sunday, chazoy b'loy kfitza. The third Sunday, she only, there was no kfitza, but she had a riya. The hasam, igloy milsa de yoy muhud de gagarim. So let's think about this. What happened here was that the woman saw Sunday, a combination of a Sunday plus kfitza. Next Sunday again. And the third Sunday, there was only the day and no kfitza. So what does that show us? What that shows us is that the kvitza makes no difference. Because if the kvitza is important, how did she see the third time? So such a woman will only have a vesed ayomim, even though her first two riyas were based on a combination of yomim and kvitza. Actually, the Torah says, what about the reverse situation? What about the case, says the Torah, where she jumped, it was a date and a kvitza, first riya, a date and a kvitza, the second riya, and the third riya was just a kvitza, not a date. Says the Torah, you have to be consistent. The same din will apply. And the same din will be that she'll only have a vesed a kvitzis, not a vesed, and the yom is not counted. As I indicated, there's a machloikis harishoinim if we should read the words in the parentheses of Shabbos Kovtsav Eloi Chazoi. Without going into too much detail, because time doesn't allow us, the machloikis of learning those words or not is based on a machloikis rishoinim, Rambam versus other rishoinim. How do we understand this Gemara? Do we understand this Gemara that the Lishna Chrina disagrees with the first Lashon? And according to the Lishna Chrina, if you had the case that we just the Lishna Kama spoke about, Sunday, Shabbos jumped Sunday, what would the Lishna Achrina hold in that case? If you learn the words of the parentheses, the Lishna Achrina will hold that, no, you have to ignore the Kvitza. If you don't learn the parentheses, then the Lishna Achrina could agree with the Lishna Kama, and they'll be speaking about different cases. The Rambam is very serious in holding that the Lishna Kama and the Lishna Achrina disagree, and the Ramban says very interesting wording. He says, I'm not sure that that's pshat in the Gemara, but I agree, I defer to the psak of the Ramban. Interesting machlaikis, chsam soif and chavistas. What will be the halacha? The Gemara and the Lishna Kama spoke about a case, first time kfitz and yom same day, second time kfitz and yom same day, third time kfitza today, yom tomorrow. What would be the halacha if all three riyas were that way? Jumped on Shabbos and saw on Sunday. Jumped on Shabbos, saw on Sunday. Jumped on Shabbos and saw on Sunday. So the Chavistah says all she has is a vesed yomim. You can't keep on paying attention to what happened the day before because she didn't have a riyah on that day. Some Sofer disagrees. Some Sofer says that that's called a vesed merkav, and her vesed is a combination of jumping on Sunday, Shabbos and seeing on Sunday. Interesting point that the Achroina make. According to the Lishna Achroina, what do we say the case is? The first time was jumping and seeing on the same day. Same the second time. The third time, just to use the case of the Gemara, there was only a yoim, not a kfitza. So what do we see from here, say the Paiskim, that the last riyah is the most important one, because that's the one that actually determines what is causing the riyah. And the question that the Paiskim ask, can we adapt this halachic concept to other areas of halacha? Where is it discussed? Very interesting discussion. The halacha speaks about a katlonis. The halacha, and this is Gepaskin the Shulchan Aruch, that if a woman was married twice and her husband died on her, you shouldn't marry that woman because she has a chazaka, that she's a katlonis. And going back to something that we discussed in the previous year, even though we have a machlokes Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel, if a chazaka is after two times, after three times, here it's a shayla of a sakana, and even after two times she's established as a katlonis. Says the Rama, that's only if the husband died naturally. If a woman's married to a man and he dies, again, it's also not of old age, because unfortunately everybody's going to die, but he's a young man and he dies, it happened once, it happened twice, she's a katlonis. But if the person died because of a disaster, an accident, that's not called a katlonis. Ask the Paiskim, why shouldn't we say that if a man died the first time because of a disaster, because of an accident, the second time her second husband died naturally, shouldn't that show that the first death was also because she's a katlonis? So the Paiskim say the comparison is a very weak comparison. Because here it's all the same. We're talking about riyas. And most women have a vesed. So we have to try to identify what's causing the vesed. Women don't naturally cause that the husband should die, so it's a very different situation. So as we learned the Gemara, just to complete the sugya, Rashi's opinion is that you could have a vesed kfitzis alone. The Brice, and that's what Rav Huna spoke about. The Brice spoke about a combination situation. So what is the halacha? Can you have a vesed based on mice itself? Could you have a vesed based on kvitzes? So the halacha is that we assume that you can have a vesed based on kvitzes. However, since, as I said, it's a machloikus rishonim, if it's a real vesed, we don't treat it like a vesed kavua, we treat it like a vesed she'ena kavua. And also, something I mentioned earlier in this year, you certainly can only establish a vesed kvitzes if there were three consecutive riyas with a kvitza. If you don't have that consecutive, then everybody will agree that it's not a vesed kvitza. Continue the Mishnah. Abish Amidai Shata. And to begin the Mishnah, we have to say that there's a very big machloikis, how to read the words Abish Amidai Shata. We're going to learn like Rashi. The Rashi says, we go back to a din that we learned many times, including the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that a woman who has a vesed kavua, so the halacha with her is dayishata. Tosfos says that af pish amar dayishata is not speaking about the woman with a vesed kavua. Dayishata is speaking about the four women that we began our shiur with today. The besula, zakenim, uberes, and meneka. Other rishonim say it's speaking about all of them. A vesed kavua and all four women. Other rishonim say that it's speaking about the besula and zakena, but not Muveres Menek, because we began today's shiur differentiating between those two types of women. But as I said, we're going to be learning that the Mishnah is speaking about a woman who has a Vesed Kavua. That we learned already in the first Mishnah of our Masechta, that by her the halach is Daishata, still teaches us the Mishnah, Tzrichel Lios Bedekas. She has to examine herself, and the Mishnah still will identify when she has to examine herself. But I have to say, it's going to be much more part of tomorrow's shiur than today's shiur. One shouldn't get scared. It has nothing to do with women nowadays. It only applies to taharis. In those days, as we said many times in our shiurim, the bedikah wasn't only for being able to have relations with one husband. A big part of the bedikah was that she should be able to touch taharis, or what happened if she did touch taharis or kachim, are they compromised? That's why bedikah was required. So Trichali is Bedekas, Chutzman Anita. Anita doesn't have to have Bedika, because she knows she's going to have Dam. So what's the point? Furthermore, the Yeshevis al Dam Tohar. And before I explain what Dam Tohar is, I always emphasize, What I'm going to say now is the din b'deraisa. It's not the din that we follow. We all remember the Torah in Parshas Tazria teaches us Ishaki Tazria v'yolda zocher. If a woman has a baby boy, for 7 days she's tamei no matter what, and for the next 33 days she's tohar no matter what. That means even if she's discharging dam, that's called dam tohar. By a girl, everything doubles. If she had a baby girl, for the first 14 days, she's tamei no matter what, even if she's not discharging dam, she's tamei. And for the next 66 days, she's torn no matter what. So this woman also, during her Yemei Tahara, there's no point in doing bedika. And there's two pshatim. One is because even if she sees dam, that dam is tahar. Another pshat is, and this is important, even though this woman is tor and midaraisa, again, I emphasize midaraisa, she's seeing dam, but she's allowed to have relations with her husband. She's not allowed to touch kachim. She's not allowed to touch taharis. So there's no point in doing the bedika because she can't touch taharis anyway. So we said she needs to do bedika. Umeshameshes be'edim. So she has to examine herself with cloth. And here we have machlokes rishonim. What does meshameshes be'edim mean? Rashi means be'edim. That means two cloths. Because she has to do bedika before the bia, and another bedika after the bia. Again, that's the way we're going to learn. Other Rishonim learn Mishameshes Be'edim means that before the bia, there's no need to do bedika. Because let's think about it, they say. She did a bedika in the morning. So what happened from the morning till now, if she didn't have a hargosha, that should require her to do a bedika? After the bia, she has to do bedika, because maybe the bia caused them. But before the bia, there's no need for bedika. And they explain Meshameshes Be'edim, why do you need two? One for him and one for her. Meshameshes Be'edim, chutz miyasheves al dam tar, except for a woman who has dam tar, because even if she'll see dam, as I just explained, it wouldn't make a difference. U besula shetameh tahirim. What does that mean? As we discussed in the previous year, and we will speak about much more later in the Masechta on Daf Samach Dalid, Mishnah on Daf Samach Dalid, the Mishnah discusses that a woman who's a virgin, here the definition of psula is the traditional definition. A woman who's a virgin, so even if she sees dam, we assume that that dam is not dam nida, it's dam psulim. And it makes a difference if it's a woman who's a giyazman alirois, or loy giyazman alirois, and even if it's a giyazman alirois, did she ever have a discharge previously or not? And there's machlokes, as I said, also to add to this, or beshaim besil, for certain periods of time, for as little as one bia, up to until we know that the maka, the wound has been healed, any dam she sees we attribute to dam psula. So such a woman also doesn't have to do bedika. Upamayim tsriach lias bedekas, immaterial to her having relations, this woman, the regular women, have to have bedika twice a day. Shachris or benishmashas, in the morning and the evening. In the morning, she has to do bedika to make sure nothing happened overnight. At the evening, she has to do bedika to make sure nothing happened during the day. Uvishah sheveres shamasas beisa. Again, with whatever pshat we learned. Yisera Salayim concludes the Mishnah. There's one woman who we're even stricter with, kahanis. Bishah shen erchlas b'truma. A kahanis who eats when she's about to eat truma, before she eats truma, she should do bedika. After she finishes eating truma, she should do a bedika. The Gemara in Daf Vav explained why after. Why is a kahanis treated more strictly? Very poshut. The Israelis is never going to eat truma. Is never going to eat kachim. The kahanis, as a wife of a kohen, or the daughter of a kohen who's not married, could eat truma. So that's why we treat her more strictly. Another pshat, something we discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, the Gemara discussed at the beginning of the Masechta, that yes, a woman who eats chul and ataris truma, we have to be makbid on her. But at the end of the day, chul and ataris truma is not taharis. Chul and ataris kachim is not kachim. So the woman, the Israelis, who has this higher level of observance, yes, because she has this higher level of observance, we have to be stricter with her. But it's still not the real thing. And these Kohanim who actually experienced the real thing of Truma and Kachim, we have to be stricter with. So we learned in the Mishnah, Chutz min anidah b'toichim ein edusa lo by bedika. The Mishnah said that a woman during the main nidus doesn't require bedika. Ask the Gemara, Hanich lev shlokish, tami isha kvas laves b'toichim yuzivasa, that a woman could become, a woman could establish a vest during the day of nida, ziva, then isha kvas laves b'toichim yuzivasa, shaper. To help us understand the Gemara, let's say you have a woman who you may need to start in Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So Rosh Chodesh Nissan, she had a Riyah. Let's say that Riyah comes in Rosh Chodesh Nissan and she has no other Riyah, till Hay Nissan. So the question is, how does the Halacha look at that Riyah? Rosh Lakish says that that Riyah, since it's during the days of Nida, cannot be considered a Riyah towards establishing a Vesed. And therefore, even if this woman will have a Riyah, Hay Nissan, Hay Iyar, Hay Sivan, it's not a Vesed Kavua. Because the first Riyah was during the Yimei Nida. Because the Yimei Nida began on Aleph Nissan. As we've learned so many times, the Yimei Nida go for 7 days. So Hay Nissan, 5 days of Nissan, are during those 7 days. So it doesn't count. So we can understand, says the Gemara, what is no need for her to do Bedika. Let's think about it. Tomei, she's Tomei anyway. Because she's Tomei until 7 days end. Whether she has a Riyah or doesn't have a Riyah, it won't make a difference. It won't affect her veset. So there's no reason, and indeed says the Mishnah, there's no point in her having a bedika. However, ask the Gemara, that a woman can establish a vest that way. So yes, we don't have to do a bedika. Yes, we don't have to do a bedika, says the Gemara, because she's tummy anyway. So she certainly can't come in contact with the Aris. But why should we do a bedika to see if she, why should we do a bedika to see if she is, had another Riyah and it could work towards establishing a vest? That's the Gemara's question. So there's a very fundamental question. If we're saying that this bedika is not towards establishing if she's Tamei or Tahar, because she certainly is Tamei until 7 days pass, it's only to establish if she does or doesn't have a vest. Does the halacha require a woman to check herself every day so she can know if she's established a vest? There's no such halacha. So what's the Gemara's Avamina? So the Farshim answer, this isn't a regular situation. We're trying to give her an exception that she shouldn't have to do bedika. Normally she has to do bedika. The Mishnah is saying that this woman has to do bedika. We're trying to waive it. So the Gemara, we shouldn't waive it. There's a point in doing the bedika because we'll know if she has a vest. There's a very famous Ravid. A very famous Ravid, a very big Chumrah. The Ravid says, when we speak about Vestas, when we speak about, this is important, basic Hilchas Nida. When we speak about Vestas, so what day do you have to keep for a vest? Is it the first day or all of the days? That means, let's say a woman has a Riyah, let's say a woman has a Vestas Kavu and she has a Riyah Rish Chodesh. She has a Vesek Kavu for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh Nesin, Rosh Chodesh Shia, Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So now when, and that Riyah takes 3 days, let's say. So now when Rosh Chodesh Tammuz comes, what is the day of a vest? Is it Rosh Chodesh Tammuz alone? Because that's the day when her discharge begins. Or since all three previous Riyahs were for the duration of 3 days, so now Rosh Chodesh Tammuz, Alabez Gimel, is her vest. So the Ravid has a very big Chumrah. And the Ravid says that the vest is all 3 days. Vest isn't only the first day of the Riyah. All Pais, I shouldn't say the word all, I don't like to use the word all ever. Most Paiskim, our meaning is not to be mapped with the Ravid. And one of the Riyahs against the Ravid is this Gemara. Because the Gemara is saying that why do you have to do a Bidika during the Mishnah Paskin, you don't have to do a Bidika during the May Nida. Because she's Tamei anyway. And according to Rish Lakish, and we'll soon see, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, she can't establish a vest anyway again then. But why? Why? Asked the Ravid. According to the Ravid, don't we need to know how long her Riyah took so we should know how long to keep her vest? The Gemara didn't suggest that. So it's a Riyah that you only have to keep the first day. There's no point in knowing how long it took. But again, back to our Gemara. The Mishnah said that during the Meinida, there's no point in doing Medika. Ask the Gemara, why? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you could establish a vest. Answers the Gemara, Amlech Rabbi Yochanan, Ki amoinino heche dechazita mayin sosin, av heche dechazita mayin posuch le'ami, which means as follows. Rabbi Yochanan says, even I who hold, that you could establish a vest during the Meinida, that's only in a situation where it was from a mayin sosin. The way Rashi explains it is as follows. The woman was supposed to have, let's say, the Hayimei Nida began on Chaf Hei Adar. And she didn't have a Riyah. She had a Riyah, as I've been saying, Rosh Chodesh Nissan, which is during those 7 days. So since she didn't have a Riyah, even though it's during the Yimei Nida, she could use that Riyah as a Riyah towards Yimei Nida, towards Yimei Vest. But let's say the case that we've been speaking about, where she had a Riyah in Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And then she had another Riyah on Hei Nissan. So that was Mayan Pesuach. She's already discharging. Even I agree that she wouldn't be able to become, that wouldn't go towards a vest. And that's the case of our Mishnah, and therefore there's no point in doing Vedika. We learned further in our Mishnah, by Yeshevas Adam Tayyar. Says the Gemara Kisaka Dayatach, the Havamin of our Gemara is, that we're speaking about a Mevakeshes, that this woman is about to begin the Yimei Tayyar. She isn't clean yet, but she's about to begin it, and there's no point in doing Bedika. Says the Gemara, there's a fundamental machloikus that we will discuss many times in the Gemara. That the Dam Tomei, which is during the first 7 or 14 days by a boy or a girl, and the Dam Nidas, the Dam Tomei, is the same Dam as the Dam of the Dam Tayyar. So the Mishnah is telling us very gishmak. Once the Yimei Tayyar come, there's no point in a Bedika. However, ask the Gemara. El Levi the Amishnei Mayonasein. Tivdoik. So she has to end that first dam before she could start the Yimei Tayyar. The Makati Leposik Hahu Mayin Tamei. The dam Tamei from the first 7 or 14 days haven't ended. So I have to put the Gemara into perspective. No one suggests that anyone would hold that the dam comes from a different place, or it's a different type of dam. Chassam Sofer says a very geshmak of art. If that would be the case, then we could always just do a physical examination and see what the dam is. The dam is the dam is the dam. The question is, on a halachic basis, how do we look at this? Do we look at it, it's all one? And the Torah says what comes during the 7 days or the 14 days is Tamei, and what comes afterwards is Tar. That's Rav's opinion. Levi says, no, it's two separate Dam, and you have to be able to end one and then begin the other. So says the Gemara, if we're going to follow the opinion of Levi, so we should have to do Bedika to make sure that the Dam Tamei ended. Amlach Levi, answers Levi, Hamani Beshamihi, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? It's the Tan of Beshamai, Damar Mayin Echadu. That Rabbi Shammai clearly holds it's all one Mayan. Ask the Gemara, we have a rule throughout Shas, that whenever we have a Machloikus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, we follow the opinion of Beis Hillel, unless the Mishnah Masechta Idyos tells us differently. So ask the Gemara, V'sosan L'tana Beis Shammai, will our Tana teach us a Mishnah according to the opinion of Beis Shammai? Answer the Gemara, Stam V'akach Machloikus Hu. We shouldn't consider it a Stam Mishnah, because although here we have it as a Stam Mishnah, we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem and Daf Lamed Hey, the Machloikus Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. So then we'll understand that our Mishnah doesn't follow Beis Hillel, and Aloch is the Kostam V'Achkach Machloikus and Achloch Kostam. It's not considered a Stam Mishnah. So it's a very simple question. It's misleading. If we read our Mishnah, the Mishnah seems to be a Stam Mishnah. So why did Rebbe write the Mishnah in a fashion that could cause us to make an error and think it's a Stam Mishnah? Shouldn't he have changed and somehow made us aware that this is based on a machloikus and it only represents the opinion of Beis Shammai? So we have to remember a very important point. The Rishonim say this. They learned Mishnayos Bal Peh. And they had a lot of Mishnayos to learn about Peh. And it's very hard once you have something memorized to change. And once you start changing, there's going to be a lot of confusion. So Rebbe decided that although there is some sort of risk involved in keeping the Mishnah as a Stam Mishnah and relying on you knowing that it's a Stam Vachkach Machloikis, you have to look at the other side of the equation. And if you're going to change the Lashon HaMishnah, you're going to introduce confusion. And that was something that he was more concerned about. Ibai Seima, Mi Ketani. Our Mishnah doesn't speak about Mevakesis Leishiv, that she wants to begin. Yeshev is Ketani. Our Mishnah is speaking about a person who clearly ended the Yimei Tumah. That dam is finished. And therefore, she only has Yimei Tayar, she only has Dam Tar, and there's no point in doing the Bedikah. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case of our Mishnah, Yeshev is Ma'ila Memra. It's obvious there's no point in doing the Bedikah, because even if the Bedikah is a bad one, and she sees Dam, as I explained when we learned the Mishnah, it doesn't make any difference. Answers the Gemara, Ma'ila Tema, Tivdik, Vedema Kavala Vest. She should have to do Bedikah, because not for seeing the Dam or not, because that doesn't make a difference, but maybe for being Kaveh Vest, Kamash Malon, the Mayin Tar, the Mayin Tamei Le'Kavah. It wouldn't make a difference anyway. Because during the Yimei Tahor, that dam, even if she has a vest, and as all the Rishonim explained, even according to Shimon Gamliel, that we referred to in our previous year, that you only have a vest on 3 riyas, in 66 days, you could have every 20 days a riyah. And she could be kaveh a vest. It's not considered a time where vests are established. Says the Gemara, why? Hanich lamadam levi damishnei mayan esayim. So the Mayan of the Yimei Tahor is not the Mayan of the Yimei Tamei, and therefore that Mayan can't establish a vest. But according to Rav, who he quoted on Raman Aleph, Dama Mayan Echad Hu, so it's all the same Mayan. So why not do a Bedika to establish a vest? Answers the Gemara, even according to Rav, Yimei Tahor and Yimei Tumah Leikava. The Yimei Tahor and Yimei Tumah are two different halachic, I would use the word entities, and you can't, there's no point in doing the Bedika. And we learned in the Mishnah, she has to do Bedikah with these cloths. Tanan Hasam. Says the Gemara, we learned in the Mishnah. Tanan Kishlaigi is Manalirais. We have this very young girl, Venissus, and she gets married, and she has Dam, that's the Dam Psulim that I referred to in Amar Aleph. Beshamar Minosin Abra Elilis. Any Dam that comes out during the first 4 nights, we attribute to the Dam Psulim. Beshel Aymrim Achatuch Yamaka. We could keep on attributing it until we know the wound has been healed. Says the Gemara, I'm a good Amishmul. Lo shana lo shloi pasukim machmas tashma. V'rasa shloi machmas tashmash. When is they still lenient? That she never had a tashmish without them. Ava pasukim machmas tashmash. If she experienced having relations with her husband, Ava pasukim machmas tashmash v'rasa, and she didn't have, any dam afterwards, even Beis Hillel, will agree that she's Tumeya. Furthermore, says the Gemara, over Laila Achas, below Tashmish, if there was a night that there's no Tashmish, V'rasa, Tumeya. Because there was certainly time for that to heal, and therefore that dam is Dam Tumei. The Shtana Maradomim, if the dam doesn't look like Dam Psulim, and again, it's important to point out that we halachically do not have the ability to make this type of determination, Tameya. Master of Yoina asked the Gemara, Ubsula Shadameh Tahirim. When we speak about a psula whose dam is tar, Amai Tishamish Beidim, the Dilma Nishtanamar Dam Shalah, why shouldn't she have a bedika? Maybe her dam changed. Amarava, Amaresha, and indeed, we should say, Chutz min anida v'yeshevas adam tar hu deloy ba'i b'dika, abasua shedameh tahirim ba'i b'dika. Ask the Gemara, now we have a stira. First, the Mishnah seems to indicate that she doesn't need to have a b'dika. And then the Reshit seems to indicate that she does b'dika. Kashna adadi, answers the Gemara, kanch shimsha, de'em shemish akran, kanch lo shimsha. So the Gemara says as follows. If the woman had bia, there's no point in doing a bedika. Because even if she'll have dam, and even if that dam will look different than the dam basulim, we won't say it's dam tamei, we'll say that the bia changed the shade of the dam. But if she did not biya, then indeed we should have bedika. So the Mishnah that gives us two different messages, should she, shouldn't she have bedika, is based on these two different experiences. Tanya nami achi, and so do we learn in a brisa. B'med ramurim, shloi poskim machmas tashmish, shloi v'rosu, shloi machmas tashmish. Avol, poskim machmas tashmish, if there was a time that she had tashmish and no dam, v'rosu, tameya. Furthermore, avalayla achas b'loi tashmish, if there was a night that she didn't have tashmish, and then rosa, tameya. Mishtana maradam shalah is also tameya unless there was a bedik, unless there was a tashmish. But if it was a tashmish, we attribute the shinui mara to the tashmish. So we learned pamaim hitzricha. We learned in the Mishnah that she has to do all these bedikas. Comments to Gemara. Amar Yehuda Mishmul. Loi shana ela taharis. All the bedikas, and we made this point when we learned the Mishnah. All of these bedikas are only so she'd be able to handle taharas. Avlabala, regarding a woman being able to have relations with her husband, materis even without bedikas. Says Marpshita Shachras Tanan. If what did our Mishnah say? That when do you do bedika? In the morning and the evening. So if we're saying, as we explained when we learned the Mishnah, that the purpose of the bedika is that she should have taharas, she should be able, is she going to adversely affect the taharas? So I understand the morning and the evening. But if the purpose of the bedika is only for tashmish, so in the morning and the evening, has not, she doesn't do bedika, she doesn't do tashmish. Ella yatma seifitma. The Mishnah said, b'shoshi averes l'shamish espesa, that the woman in our Mishnah, besides the bedika of the morning and the evening, has to have bedikas before and after tashmish. On that, says Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, Lo Yishanal Bisha B'Sukkah B'Taharis, this woman who comes in contact with Taharis, the Migi the boy B'Dikla Taharis, since we're mandating her B'Dikla for Taharis, boy Nami B'Dikla Bala, so we extend it that also around the Tashmish Yishav B'Dikla. Aval Eina B'Sukkah B'Taharis, if she has nothing to do with Taharis, like boy B'Dikla. Then such a woman has no need for B'Dikla. That level of stringency doesn't apply. Ask the Gemara, my Kamashmuan, what's the chiddush in this? Tanina, isn't this something that we're going to learn in the Mishnah and Daftaz Vav? The Mishnah says, Kol Anashim, Becheskes Tahar L'Baleim. We assume that a woman is Tahar for Tashmish. So what is Shmuel Tehillim teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Im Masnisen, were we to only learn that Mishnah? Have a minim v'isha sheish leves. A woman that has a vest at kavua, any other time we assume is tahar. Avol isha shein levest. But a woman who doesn't have a vest at kavua, we would assume requires bedika, comes Shmuel to teach us that even the woman who doesn't have a vest at kavua doesn't need a bedika if the entire purpose is just to have relations with her husband. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that our Mishnah is speaking even about a woman without a vest kavua? If you recall, when we began the Mishnah, I spent time trying to explain the first words of the Mishnah. Apish amru da'i shata. And who did I say Rashi says, and now Rashi's pshat is very vindicated. Who is the Mishnah talking about? A woman with a vest kavua. So our Mishnah is speaking about a woman with a vest kavua. How are we extrapolating that the din of our Mishnah is even by a woman that doesn't have a vest kavua? Ask the Gemara. How do we extrapolate it to a woman that without a vesek kavua? Answers Gemara. Masnisen is talking about ben sheyesh leveset, ben ein leveset. The chiddush of the Mishnah is the afgav the yesh leveset. So since she's as a veset, and what is the fundamental principle of vestas? The fundamental principle of vestas is oirich bezman oibo. So we would think that this woman shouldn't have to do any other bedika. Because we know that's coming at one time and not any other time. Teaches us the Mishnah that afgav the yesh leveset, and included in that is the principle of oyrek bezman bo, migid boy bedika letaharis, bo nami bedika labala. So we're so strict with her. Number one, the entire bedika letaharis seems to be superfluous, because we know she's not going to have dam any other time. And she already did bedika twice every day. She has to do bedika every day, and every time she does tashmish. Says the Gemara, a different question. This din, I don't need Shmuel to tell us here. Hasn't Shmuel told us that elsewhere? A Gemara that we're going to spend a lot of time in tomorrow's shiur on. And that really causes a lot of difficulty. Does that mean any woman without a vesek kavua can never do tashmish without a bedika? V'kimna, and the way we explain, we will learn that Gemara, it's speaking specifically the sukkah b'taharis. But if it's not a sukkah b'taharis, just the woman to be able to have relations with her husband, doesn't need a bedika. So we already learned it there. Answers the Gemara, chad mechlal chavar te'etma. Which means, according to most Rishonim, Shmuel only made one statement. And most Rishonim say, we don't know which one of the two. The two statements are very connected. Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda is applying it to our Mishnah, there was applied to that Memra. It's one and the same. Concludes the Gemara, Tanya Nami Hachi, all the Bedikas that we spoke about in our Mishnah, B'medvurim L'taharis, is only with an Isha who's a Suk B'taharis, Avlabal Muteris. However, makes the Gemara the point. When is a bedika not required? That means if a husband left home with his wife being tahar, and he comes home, he could have a relation with his wife. Av without anything else. Av hanich becheskes tameya. If he left his wife, went on a trip, and before he left, when he left, his wife was tameya. He can't assume that she's tahar until she explicitly tells him tahirani. However, the Pesukim say that he doesn't have to say it. If she shows it in her actions that she does things that a woman who's a nida is not allowed to do, chibit v'nishik, that is equivalent to saying tahirani.